www.thebigradio.com. You can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWPRadio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vapidez.
Everybody, Pro Wrestling Powerhouse is live on the air right here, right now, from the one, the only, the Jersey Shore. That's right. I am Jay Oleto, your party host for the evening, just like I am each and every week here on blogtalkradio.com/PWP Radio. We've got a great show lined up for tonight. We've got Lady Tapa on the line in just a couple moments. She will be talking to us about her impending Impact Wrestling debut. When is that going to happen? Maybe she'll let us know. Maybe she won't. Maybe it'll be a big surprise. We'll find out. We'll also talk to her about Gut Check, you know, her workout regimen. She's got a great body on her. And we'll talk to her about her career and what led to her becoming a professional wrestler. We'll get to that in just a few moments. But before we get this show on the road, I want to let you all know to visit ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. If we didn't have ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com, we would not have a radio show. It is just that simple. See great articles from the likes of Crazy Bill, Duron Browning, myself, Greg DeMarco, and so many others. Zach Fellows, all these guys do a great job. They've all done multiple articles. There's so much to read at ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. And please visit our Amazon.com store on ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. You see a link on the bottom of the page. Click through that link. Buy whatever you want. Buy anything. It gives a little back to the show. I'm sure you hear guys like Stone Cold Steve Austin telling you to go there and click on his links and all this stuff. Help the little guy out. He's the big guy. Help the little guy. Go on over to Amazon.com. Buy anything. We get a small little bit of the purchase that you make. And tonight we'll also talk about WWE Battleground. There's a lot to discuss. And Toph is here with me tonight. And I'm going to bring in the one, the only, my co-host for the evening. Here's Toph. What's up, Toph?
Hello. How you doing today, Jay?
I'm great, man. Hanging in there, dude. Had a great day. And I'm even more excited to bring in our guest for the evening. We saw the vignette on Impact. We know she's coming, but when? That's something that we don't know. Maybe we'll find out the answer. But ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening, Lady Tapa on the line with us right now on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. What's going on, Tapa? How you doing?
Hello, Lady Tapa's over here with Powerhouse tonight. I'm doing great. How are y'all doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm so glad that you could join us here tonight on the show. This is going to be an absolutely fantastic interview, and I'm going to get the word out there. I'm going to spread the word of Lady Tapa. Like I told you before we got on the show, I've been watching your matches, and I'm loving your style. Loving your style. Very unique, and I got to say, I can't wait for your debut on Impact Wrestling.
You can't wait. I can't wait either. But I'm not going to tell you what's going to go down. I'm just going to tell you to keep tuning in.
You know we will. And my man Toph here, is our resident TNA diehard fan. We all love Impact Wrestling. We all support it. But Toph, he's diehard. So, Toph, you got any questions for Lady Tapa tonight, my man?
Hi. Do I call you Miss Lady Tapa or Miss Tapa? Or what should I call you?
You can call me Queen Lady Tapa.
Okay, I'll call you Miss Queen Lady Tapa. I have a few questions. First, could you tell us about OVW a little bit? What's the experience like down there?
Well, being down here at OVW, I got here about 4 months ago, and honestly, it's a great experience. I think I've heard of OVW, but when I got sent down here, you honestly gained so much knowledge and learned so much about how to work in the ring, how to be a character, and it's a good school to come to because you get really great exposure from here.
When I first saw you on Gut Check a few months back, I was really conflicted because I think that you stand out from all the other knockouts and really female talents in general in wrestling today. And you kind of have the Awesome Kong, Beth Phoenix, monster vibe going on. And I think that's good. It's kind of a dying art you don't really see in wrestling anymore. But at the same time, you also have those fans that just kind of prefer the cutie kind of Gail Kim, Terrence Rell kind of look. When you were kind of called up to do the Gut Check, did you have that mental conversation to yourself where, like, you were going to decide you were going to do what you want to do? Or did you ever doubt, like, whether or not you should change your gimmick, I guess is what I'm trying to ask.
Yeah. I never, when I got the call to come up there for the Gut Check, I never doubted the type of character that I wanted to be, you know, in pro wrestling as far as a woman. I already know that my size alone is different. I know I'm not little. I know I don't look like any of the girls. So my whole thing is that I'm not trying to be like them. I'm just being myself and who I feel fits with what I am. And so when before I even got to Gut Check, I was already doing, you know, that character Lady Tapa, Queen of Rings, working the independent circuit, and ended up getting picked up to come up there. And I never doubted myself at all because I already know I don't look like them. I'm not their size, so I'm not trying to compare myself to them or try to be like them. I'm just being myself.
That's great. I think you're better off being yourself as well because it makes you more memorable. This is the last question I have. I don't want to take up too much time because I know Jay has some questions. I noticed that you've been using the TKO as your finisher. I know sometimes you get caught up to the main roster, they make you change your finisher. If you're not allowed to answer this question, I understand. But when you do get caught up to Impact Wrestling main roster, do you plan on continuing to use the TKO or do you have like a new finisher in the works?
Oh, well, I can't really answer that right now. I think you just have to tune in and see what happens.
Okay.
As far as, you know, my movesets of what I portray, it's going to be used. So you just have to tune in and see.
Okay, thank you. You have any questions, Jay?
Oh, absolutely. I love the Tongan Death Grip, by the way. That is one of my favorite moves of all time. And I saw you do that in a match I was watching from OVW, and I really marked out. I thought that was great.
Thank you. I figured now, I'd use that as far as my culture and, you know, my heritage of being from Tonga and representing the Polynesians, you know, the Tongans and Samoans from, like, my uncle and all the Samoans and Tongans, you know. So I figured as a female to bring something and use something as a woman, you know, that they used in the past that I maybe can use.
Oh,
now.
Absolutely. I noticed that you adopted that style in your matches, you know, your uncle's the Barbarian, if the fans out there don't know. And you've got a little bit of his style going on. I saw that Haku style with the Tongan Death Grip and stuff. But was the Barbarian the reason you wanted to become a pro wrestler, your uncle, or was it just something naturally that came along yourself?
I think it's like both. Growing up, I've always seen my uncle, you know, I'd go to his wrestling shows and coliseums and everything. And along the way, as I was, you know, growing up, I always knew wrestling was there and it was in our blood. I just had, like, college and stuff like that. And then when it was the right time, I felt, you know, I feel like it's time for me to step in the ring and see what I can do and where it can take me. And so that's how all that came about.
Yeah, exactly. I was watching your gut check. I'm not going to say audition tape, but the little video they showed before your match with Ivelisse, and you got very emotional about it. Tell me a little bit about that gut check experience. Was it really that emotional for you?
Well, honestly, the gut check really wasn't emotional to me. It was just, you know, in that interview at that moment when I was asked a question, I just remembered, like, before I even came up there to do that interview, I had a, you know, deep conversation with my uncle just about wrestling and about, you know, if this is what I want, you know, go all the way and don't give up. And it was just one of those heartfelt moments where you have, where you take a moment, and when they asked me that question, it just took me back there to how I felt, you know, and it touched my heart. And I didn't mean to cry, but it just came out like that. But, you know, sometimes when things touch you, you just show emotion. You can't hold it in. You just let it out.
Yeah, that's the best thing about wrestling to me, is when those natural emotions come out, when you kind of are able to, you know, take off the blindfold and just see the person for themselves. I really like that. Especially, I give kudos to TNA for showing that too, because sometimes they would edit that out or whatever. But that was really nice that they actually told the story there. Before you became a wrestler, though, you were in an independent women's football league, correct?
Yes.
How was that experience? How was football for you?
Oh, man, that was, like, a great experience. My husband got me into it. His football coach, he ended up coaching a women's pro football team in Charlotte, North Carolina. And my husband said to me, hey, you should go and try out because you're very athletic and, you know, you could do something with that. And so he took me there, and then I tried out and made the team and really enjoyed it. And they put me as middle linebacker and defensive end. And I feel like playing football has prepared me for wrestling, honestly, because you take a lot of hits and we give a lot of hits, but it's a control of your own body, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was probably a lot of great physical training as well. Now, for the ladies out there that are listening, give us some of your weight training and your cardio routines, because you're in phenomenal shape. And I'm not blowing smoke here. I'm shooting with you. You're in great shape. And,
you're making me feel pretty good right now.
I'm just going by what I saw. I'm going by what I watched just a few hours ago. And Tell the fans some of your weightlifting routine and your cardio routine.
Yeah, most of my workout consists of a lot of cardio. I know, like, cardio, squats, abs, and push-ups. Like, when it comes to working out, I don't really lift a lot of weight. I like to use my own body weight as my weight. Because in wrestling, I see that you're in the ring, it's good to learn how to control your own body, you know. Some people like lifting weights and stuff, that's great, but for me, using my own body weight, like doing push-ups and squats, using my own, you know, legs, and working on now is just being more faster, quicker on my feet. But the most important thing to me in a workout is cardio, abs, push-ups, and squats, but it's all just using my own body weight. And the reason why I say cardio...
Go ahead. Yeah, sorry,
go ahead. Cardio, because when you're in the ring, it's a different type of feeling, especially when you go. You know, it's a different kind of thing from where you can just get on a treadmill and run or go for a jog. When you're in that ring, you're using every part of your body from head to toe, moving constantly, moving from a rope or getting off the ground from a bump. You know, you're constantly moving. So I figured the best way to train for me, like for football, I would lift weights when I was playing, lift heavy weights because I knew I needed strength on the D-line and, you know, as a middle linebacker to go strong against the girl to hit them. But for wrestling, I see, like, when you're in the ring, it's all up to you to control your own body, if you understand what I'm saying.
Oh, I absolutely do. It's all about functional training. I'm actually right now going to school for personal training, so I'm trying to get involved in that. And, functional training is a big part of my workout routine, too. How do you break your workouts down? I mean, do you start with your cardio? Do you finish with your cardio? Is it cardio the entire time because you're constantly going, or do you take a lot of rest in between sets?
Well, sometimes I go in the gym and I do cardio at the beginning, stretch, do cardio for 20 minutes. And then after I do that, then I'll get down, do push-ups, go to squats, like 20 squats, then 20 push-ups. And sometimes I'll, like, you know, jump in place knee high for like 30 seconds. It all depends on how I feel that day, but I always try to use just my own body weight and just
awesome.
Break it up.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. the way to go, especially if someone's out there who's beginning. Even if you want to bodybuild, you know, start out with that body weight training first. Get your muscles accumulated to the hell you're about to put them through when you start lifting those heavy weights. You always want a solid core to start with. But Ivelisse Velez, okay, I want to talk to you about this match on Impact. You actually lost the match, and I remember it clear as day because we had Ivelisse on the show about a year ago, maybe a little less than a year ago. We had another show on the station, and she was on and talked to us a little bit about her career and stuff. And there was a lot of people out there, you know, a lot of the fans were a little disappointed when Ivelisse was booted and you got that TNA contract. Of course, you're an OVW, but you got that contract. Tell me about your match with Ivelisse and how you reacted to the fans that after that match took place.
Yeah. Honestly, the gut check, I was going in there knowing it was an opportunity to go out there and showcase what I can do and my character for wrestling. And I know the same thing for Ivelisse, and I know I went in there not having much experience as she had, you know, being in the wrestling business and stuff. But that match, I felt like we put on a great match. And I respect her as a wrestler because she's helped me a lot, you know. And that gut check was the first time I met her. And honestly, I was shocked. I was shocked. And I know, you know, because of experience, I knew for me it's just an opportunity. So I didn't expect to win a gut check or anything like that. I just knew, like, this is a good opportunity to get your face out there. And who knows what will happen. So it was a shock for me. And I'm not sure how she felt, you know. I kind of talked to her even after, and I think we were both just kind of like, I know I was shocked because I knew she won, you know, beating in the match, and I knew she has more experience. And I know the fans, you know, they were more for her. And so it was just kind of like one of those things where you just didn't know. And then when they said, you know, that I won the gut check, it was a shock to me because I respect her as a wrestler and as a female because I think she's great, you know.
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
Hope one day maybe TNA will bring her back, you know, because I think she's a great great wrestler and a great person from
but
what
you did
I know.
Get your, you did get your win back. You did get your win back from her, so you kind of even the score. We need to see the rubber match.
Yeah, we need to see another one. I agree.
Absolutely.
1-1. Now we got to break the tie.
I've talked to a few people who were on Gut Check and involved in the entire process. We had Joey Ryan on. I talked to Adam O'Reiner, who you might know as the Big O. Talked to him the other week about it and his experience with it. And I got mixed, and I've talked to a few other people too, and there were mixed kind of reactions from the talent. And when TNA started releasing a lot of their Gut Check talent that they had signed, were you nervous that there was a possibility you were going to get cut from the roster?
In a way, but I just didn't know what was going on. I know they were releasing a lot of people, but I just kind of said, you know, if it happens to me, then it's, you know, it's out of my hands. I can't control anything, but I think they made a good decision keeping me. I really didn't think about that, honestly, when I know they were letting go of a lot of gut check, you know, winners and stuff. It never crossed my mind because I was just focusing on what I'm supposed to do down here at OVW and learn and gain as much training as I can and get more comfortable, you know, in the ring and stuff like that. But honestly, it never really crossed my mind that they might release me because I just got signed. But then again, I honestly, it just never crossed my mind. I wasn't thinking about anything like that.
That's good. That's positive outlook. I love that. I wish more people had that in the wrestling business. OVW, you know, we talked a little bit about your experience there. Who's your main trainer at OVW right now? Who's the person you rely on the most for training?
The person that I rely, we go to training on Monday, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and the person that Al Snow.
Yeah.
Al Snow trains us. Yeah, he's for me. Yeah, and
yeah,
you know Frank.
Frank. No, I don't.
Trailer Park Trash.
Oh, okay.
He's our
okay,
other
there you go.
Trailer Park Trash and Al Snow.
Yeah, Al Snow has been doing it for a long time. That's a good cat to learn from. And tell me a little bit about the big ladder match. There's only been a couple female ladder matches in OVW history, and you were involved in the second one. Tell me a little bit about that experience.
Oh, man, that was an experience I'll never forget, my first ladder match ever, and it was so intense. It was so intense. And going into it, the fans and everyone over here at OVW automatically thought that I would win, you know, because I'm bigger than the girls and all of this. But, you know, at the end, it didn't happen that way. We're all four up on the ladder, and, you know, Taylor Hendricks climbs on my back, holding on to me, almost making me fall, you know. It was a battle, but it was a great experience. And an experience I'll never forget because we made history that night.
Absolutely, yeah. It was a fantastic match. I watched it, and I got to say, I was impressed. You know, when you work with ladders, there's that little bit of danger. There's actually a lot of danger involved, and you got to be careful. You got to know what you're doing, and you guys came out of it looking pretty good, so congratulations on that.
Thank you.
You got it. Now, you being from kind of a wrestling family, the Barbarian being your uncle, do you have any favorite stories from, like, being a little girl and watching him wrestle on TV and everything? Any favorite, like, memories or anything?
Yeah, I remember being when I was younger, and my uncle had a wrestling match, and it was in California, San Francisco. And we went to my grandpa's house, and my uncle would always come, and I'd always have him, you know, flex his muscle when I was little, and I'd hang on to it, and he would just lift me up and down, and I thought that was the coolest thing, and he was the most strongest man ever. Every time, and he'd sit there, and he'd show me his hands. I'd be like, what happened right there? He'd have, like, teeth marks in his hands from wrestling and stuff, and I used to tell him that he shouldn't wrestle because he'll get hurt. And he used to laugh. But, you know, that's when I was like 7 years old, 8 years old. But I remember little things like that. And then now look at me. I'm in the ring.
That's amazing. And he's been instrumental, I assume, in your career, correct?
Yes.
He's the type of guy you can, like, ask for advice, like you were saying before, rely on for training. Mm-hmm. He seems like a good guy from the little package we saw. So that's great to have that support
system. Yes, when I first came into wrestling, my uncle and George South, they started training me over there at High Spots in Charlotte, North Carolina. And that's where it all started with them. And I would just keep sticking to it. And then probably 6 months in, they said, okay, now you're ready to go in and try your first match. You know, so let's test and see what you can do. And then from then on, you know, just kept pushing. So I'm really grateful for everyone that's helped me along the way to get to this point.
That's amazing. Now, final question. I watched a match before on YouTube that you and ODB, the current Knockouts champion, were involved in. And you two had a hard-hitting affair. You guys are going at it, going pretty hard. And I know you're debuting soon. We don't know when. We don't know when you're debuting. But do you have any words for ODB?
ODB, I'm coming for your belt, your Knockouts belt, and I'm coming to take you out. Like, all the Knockouts there already know. They already know. Like, when it's my time, I'm coming to take over. And when I'm done with all of them, they're all going to bow down because I'm the queen of the ring. When they step in that ring, that's my ring, my island.
I love it. I love that.
I'm going to get her and take her title. And when I take it, she's going to bow down. They're all going to respect me. I'm not playing. I'm not here to play.
You know what? I'm excited. I'm excited because you're going in there. You're going right for the belt. That's an exclusive here, folks, on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. You're going right for that Knockouts Championship, which for a long time has been the most coveted women's wrestling championship in the country. I think it probably has more prestige than that Divas title, considering the match quality. So that's awesome. That's big news. And can't wait to see that match take place. And, okay, so where can the fans find you? Can the fans find you on Twitter, Facebook?
Yep, they can find me on Twitter, at Lady Tapa, capital L-E-I, capital D, underscore, capital T-A-P-A, or you can find me on Facebook, Lady Tapa. Yeah, and you can check out the website at ovwwrestling.com. And make sure you keep tuning in to Impact Wrestling every Thursday.
Well, I'll tell
Lady
you what.
Tapa is coming soon.
You are definitely the queen. Thank you so much for coming on the show on such short notice tonight. We really appreciate it, and we wish you so much luck on your impending debut with Impact Wrestling. We'll be tuning in and watching out for you.
Thank you for having me. I truly appreciate it.
You got it. And I just blasted your Twitter name to all my Twitter followers. We're going to continue spreading the word. And please, you know, in the future, I'll be in contact. Come back on the show, and we'll talk a little more about, you know, your wrestling career and what's going on.
Yeah, no problem. I'll be more than happy to come back on your show along the way.
Awesome.
So
you know,
thank you so much for having me tonight.
You got it, Queen. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the one, the only, the Queen, as she likes us to call her, Lady Tapa. She will be debuting soon on Impact Wrestling, so watch out for her. And you can follow her on Twitter at Lei, that's L-E-I, capital D, underscore, Tapa, capital T-A-P-A. Like she said, follow her, get in on it, and get ready, folks, because she is coming, and she's coming for ODB. She's coming for her championship. It's going to be a great ride. And, hey, Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio has just begun. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. We're going to talk a little bit about WWE Battleground and the road to WWE Battleground. We'll also talk about TNA Wrestling, Bound for Glory, what's going on with them. And, you know, just stick it here at Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. Okay, we're back here live, Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, and a great interview with Lady Tapa. It's so great to have her on the show. She gave us a lot of great insight into her career and what the future holds for TNA. She's going right for that Knockouts championship. What did you think of the interview, Toph?
She's pretty cool. I thought she was going to be, like, intimidating and stuff, but she's very nice.
I think she was pretty intimidating towards ODB, though. You got to say, that was pretty awesome. I'm happy she was able to kind of give her a little tiny promo, a little bit of a taste of what we're going to see in the future on TNA Wrestling.
I just feel sorry for Eric Young. I don't want to take a TKO spot. I wouldn't anyway.
Oh, man, yeah, Eric Young. I love Eric Young. That guy's awesome. He should have done the beard gimmick before Daniel Bryan. He could have been way over with that. He did.
Yeah, he did. He got injured, remember? Well, not injured. I believe he has, all jokes aside, I believe he has some type of personal injury with his throat or something, you know, because his voice sounds very weird. Because he grew that beard out as early as 2010. And, you know, then he did his little tag team thing with Orlando Jordan, remember that? And he kept, like, disappearing and reappearing. It wasn't consistent. And then, like, by the time he kind of came back, Daniel Bryan had already won Money in the Bank, and he had already he was already on his way to becoming world champion, and like by 2012 the Yes thing was like over and stuff. But yeah, man, he's funny, but yeah, eventually there's gonna be a spot where he'll take the TKO. And Eric Young, he's cool, you know, he doesn't mind taking spots from females. I like Eric Young. A lot of guys don't. A lot of guys in the wrestling business, they don't like it when they have to take a bump from a female. I don't really get that. I don't see what the big deal is, but Eric's cool.
Yeah, exactly. And I was watching some of her matches, like I said, and it was kind of goofy. I'm watching this one match that she had. It was complete squash over this chick named Lady Lovelace or something like that, or Chelsea Lovelace. I'm sorry. I'm not too big into the female wrestling thing. But the announcer was freaking out, telling the crowd that she was 6'5", telling all the viewers that she's 6'5", like 300 pounds or something. And there's no way she's that big. You know, she's a beautiful young lady, and she's going to have a hell of a future in professional wrestling. And now, finally, shows up from volleyball. Here he is. Here's TLD.
It's TLD.
Yeah.
Four-time tag team champion. I'm curvy. I'm cute. I'm a champion.
The big guy.
Will, what's going on, man? Will, TLD, you there? TLD, how are you there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here, man. I put myself on mute so that way you don't hear any of the background noise. But, yes, I'm doing fine. And what was that commercial break? What was the commercial that you were airing?
You know what? It wasn't a commercial. It was a song.
I lied to the audience.
Well,
I was,
you know what happened?
Commercial.
I'll tell you what happened. I have a commercial set for later. I do have one set for later. It's going to be the same commercial we played last week, but I hit the wrong button. I have a little format sheet here, and I just messed up. It was my bad. My bad, audience. Sorry. We all make mistakes.
Yeah.
I'm a couple beers in tonight.
If anything, this show is completely sponsored by TLDWrestling.com.
Yeah, if anything. But TLD, man, I'm glad to have you back on the show tonight, and hey, we're blowing up on the internet. Our video from Pro Wrestling Syndicate's doing pretty damn well. It's going to be getting some great feedback from guys like Kevin Matthews, The Big O, and Eric Questa. Great job on that, man.
Oh, thank you. You know, video editing is my specialty. I went to school for it. I love doing it. You know, we're also doing BWLWrestling.com. Got involved in kind of redid our B4W, kind of doing BWLWrestling.com. I'm editing all those shows now. And, yeah, so, and if anybody you know is getting married, you know, I'll fly out and I'll do your wedding for video. So you should hire me.
You're goddamn right.
I will consider that only if I'm allowed to give you the Pastor Devon theme. Would that be enough?
You know what? Because I'm in a really good mood, I will agree to your terms and conditions.
Yes, and Jay will be the Batista.
I'm the DJ,
but by the way,
like
I am an ordained minister, by the way, so if you do need to marry someone also, I have that, too.
Okay.
Yeah, Will's a multi-talented type guy. I mean, I got to say, the video we did at Pro Wrestling Syndicate, We just keep getting better, Will. Everything we do just keeps getting better. Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio keeps getting better. I'm remembering back a year ago when we first started the show, and I just didn't know what the hell I was doing. I literally did not know what the fuck I was doing, but here I am today, a year later. I am loving it, and I'm going to keep the show going as long as I possibly can. And only with your support, though, folks. Ladies and gentlemen out there, if you're listening, whether it's live right now on blogtalkradio.com, or if you're listening to iTunes, Stitcher, at prowrestlingpowerhouse.com, wherever, please hit me up. Let me know what you think of the show. You can follow me on Twitter, at PWPowerhouse. Follow me there. Tell me what you think. If you think we suck, please tell me that we suck. If you love it, tell me you love it. It's that simple. I'm not asking for anything but honesty. You could also email me, webmaster at prowrestlingpowerhouse.com, because I am the master. But let's go right into what we're talking about here tonight, and that is WWE Battleground. It's coming up this Sunday.
What?
It's coming up
what
really quick. Huh?
What pay-per-view is that?
Battleground? It's coming up this Sunday, bro.
Oh, yeah, that one they didn't advertise, yes.
Yeah, it's coming up quick. It's coming up quick, and there's a lot of mixed reactions about the show. Personally, on the amount of weeks they've had, I think they've done a pretty good job building it up and putting some solid matches on the card. But I'm looking at the message boards. I'm watching the trolls talk, and they seem to have it completely different. They think that WWE is kind of not having the right kind of, especially, you know, with all these pay-per-views in a short little time span, they're not using the right strategy. I disagree. I say money is money. They're going to make hundreds of thousands of dollars on this pay-per-view, so why not go ahead and do it? Toph, what are your thoughts on WWE running another pay-per-view here in October and then running an additional one later in the month with Hell in a Cell?
I think it's stupid. I mean, we've talked about this before. This has been a consistent problem that's been going on really since around 2009. If you've noticed, every other year it seems there's a new pay-per-view in October. They keep changing because nothing sticks. I remember when Bragging Rights was in October and Survivor Series was in November. It was so. Why would you have two pay-per-views that have the same gimmick right next to each other? Then they got rid of that. And they brought back Vengeance, and they got rid of that. I mean, they're changing it every year because nothing sticks. The fall is a very difficult time for wrestling. You know, I posted it earlier today. You know, it's too late for SummerSlam build. It's too early for WrestleMania build. Sports season starts again with football. You got all these other sitcom shows starting. School starts. Wrestling's just not a priority. For a lot of casual fans out there. You can look at the buy rates, you can look at the ratings, you can look at the merchandise sales. It's consistently been low every year during the fall. During the fall, it's just not a good time at all. Interest is low. And, you know, it's becoming a problem. I think that WWE has decided that during the fall, they're going to basically be experimental and just try out new stuff. You know, they seem to do it every year. And I seriously forgot that Raw was even a go-home show. I didn't realize that Raw was a go-home show until, like, the last segment with Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan, where, you know, Orton attacked Bryan and RKO'd him through the table. It was at that moment I realized, wait a minute, it's a go-home show? And it felt like we just had a pay-per-view because we just had one. Why would anybody want to waste $55 to see a pay-per-view that's basically going to be like Raw? It's stupid. It's just horrible.
From a fan standpoint, I get what you're saying. From a fan standpoint, it makes perfect sense because you're giving another pay-per-view so close to Night of Champions, so close to Hell in a Cell. It's kind of the bastard child of both those shows. But on the flip side, you could also think of it as WWE is just giving the fan more content. They're giving them another big show to enjoy. Now, regardless if buy rates are down or whatever, you know, who's going to spend the $55? People will do it. And I would put my money on the line that WWE does over 100,000 buys on this show because that's what they do. They consistently – think about it. 100,000 buys, $55 a pop. You're up in the tickets for the show you're at. You know, you're not going to get those $20 seats you get from house shows. These tickets are going to be expensive. They're going to fill the place up. All the merchandise sales. They might do some kind of – they usually do the special kind of merchandise at pay-per-views. And – I think it's just a business strategy. I don't know if they have some kind of contract with the pay-per-view companies to do another show. I'm not sure exactly what's in there, but I always like to look at the glass half full in these kind of instances, and I just see more content, and I see another layer to the Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton story, another layer to the Cody Rhodes, Triple H story, Big Show, all the stuff that's going on. It's just another chapter in the book. Will, what are your thoughts on this, man?
Battleground, I agree with Tope that the pay-per-view-wise has not been built up. To me, I'm very interested. The selling point to me was the Cody Rhodes match. That's a match that I didn't see coming. If you were to look at the last pay-per-view and then go to this pay-per-view, I definitely didn't see Cody Rhodes and Goldust teaming against the Shield. So for me, that was a good sell on it. Right now, I'm very curious on how they're going to do the WWE title match because, obviously, there's going to be more screw job into it. I think this time, it shouldn't be a clean finish. I mean, I think that was a mistake last time when they did a clean finish or a botched pin. You know, I'm really expecting something of a surprise for me to say, wow, that was a great moment. I'm glad I watched the pay-per-view. You know, there's some good – I don't know. This one's kind of a tough one. I could see why this one's like kind of like, sleeper pay-per-view. But also I could see this one being really good, especially with some of the main matches that are announced so far. And I think the tag match itself, Goldust, who's not even really technically contracted with the WWE, you know, is now on the show. And I kind of like that. I hope they kind of bring some of these older stars back and do some small storylines with them. I think it works pretty well.
This is very small and trivial. This isn't a big deal for me, but I think the one thing about Battleground that really annoyed me was when I heard that there was a new pay-per-view called Battleground, and maybe it's just me, so maybe I'm just thinking too hard. But when I heard there was a new pay-per-view called Battleground, my first instinct was, okay, maybe they'll introduce some type of new gimmick. You know, it's called Battleground. You know, doesn't that sound like something that's different? You know, they've always been struggling during the fall. I was like, you know, maybe they'll try out War Games, or maybe they'll do something different. I expected something different. Like, when I saw the fast count at Night of Champions, I'm like, okay, maybe Orton and Bryan will have, like, a 30-minute Iron Man match. Or maybe they'll have, like, a last man standing. But it's just the same. It's just Randy Orton versus Daniel Bryan again. Another match. No different from the previous one. Dolph Ziggler versus Damian Sandow. Why is the Money in the Bank holder in a pre-show match? And why is someone that was world champion just a few months ago in a pre-show? Why is Brie
Bella
for Divas? What did Brie Bella do? Weren't they building to Natalya in it? Where did Brie come from? Well, RVD versus Daria, who cares? Everything about this show is like, what? I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this. The only match that I somewhat kind of enjoy or look forward to is CM Punk versus Ryback. Oh, and I guess the tag team match. So, like, you know, that's cool too with you know, Cody and Goldust. But these title matches just very disappointing. I guess what I'm trying to say is I expected something different. You know what I mean? I expected something different because it's a new pay-per-view, right? Just like how they did Payback earlier this year, I thought that they would do something different for Battleground, but it's just like Night of Champions 2.0, same match, no difference. I don't get it.
Well, sure, I agree with you there. What I was kind of mentioning before with another chapter to Bryan Orton is like, you could give them a gimmick match now, you could do it, but I think the gimmick match in this feud is going to be Hell in a Cell, and I personally think this feud is going to go on even after Hell in a Cell. I think it's going to continue, but you mentioned Brie Bella. Of course, you don't have to ask that question, Tope. You know why she's got the title shot and she's over. She just got engaged to Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan's the most over star in the entire company. Of course they're going to use that kind of real-life thing, man. I saw that coming a mile away, and it's smart booking. As far as Ziggler and Sandow are concerned, the reports on the internet, the digital diarrhea, so to speak, were saying that Ziggler's got some heat. We've talked about that in the show, and I think he does. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, sometimes this happens. You get that little hazing process, so to speak, from the powers that be, and they see if you can persevere and work through it and still give your best performance. I mean, Ziggler himself stated that he wasn't giving his best performances as of late. And Sandow's another guy. You got to remember, he's on the pre-show. There's always that possibility that RVD, Del Rio, have a banging hardcore match. I think it's going to be good. RVD can do hardcore matches. That's something that he can do. And I think they're going to have a good match. And what if, you know, RVD wins the strap and Sandow cashes in and this becomes a memorable pay-per-view because Sandow's your new World Heavyweight Champion. There's a lot of different things they can do at the show. And personally, with the amount of time that WWE has had to build it up, especially last night on Raw, I think they did a really, really good job with – I know you said you didn't know it was a go-home show, but honestly, in the very beginning of the show, Michael Cole was talking about Battleground within the first, like, half hour, 20 minutes. He was talking about how it was coming Sunday, and he talked about it a lot throughout the entire night. I do like that you mentioned CM Punk and Ryback, though, and that's where we're going to start with our predictions. And I'm going to kick it to TLD first. Big match. CM Punk, babyface, Ryback heel. It's the exact opposite scenario from around this time last year. Who do you got and why?
You know, I could see CM Punk winning by disqualification or something like that. That's my tell. I think they're going to have to keep the storyline going. I just don't know where the ending result. I know eventually he's going to hit, you know, eventually he's going to get to Paul Heyman. I just don't know when that's going to be. But I did like the story last night. I thought it was pretty interesting how Paul Heyman was acting towards Ryback, and Ryback was feeling very gullible about the whole situation. So it was kind of funny in that aspect. But I did like the whole idea of building up to it. I just don't like they aren't bringing up the past at all. You know, they're kind of not bringing up anything about what happened last year where basically Heyman and was screwing Ryback all the time, you know, which is probably good because I guess it wouldn't, you know, in reality it wouldn't make sense the way last year went. So I'm pretty excited. I'm still excited to see the match. I think, you know, Ryback's had a year now where he can, you know, he's been training, he's been studying. He's a heel now. I think people like him better as a heel. And we'll see where it goes. And but I do see CM Punk winning by DQ, which gives me points, by the way. So I think Ryback's still going to look really strong. And they're going to keep going for Hell in the Cell, I think. I think Hell in the Cell is going to be a good breaking point for this feud.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a solid match because I think this is the way it's meant to be. You know, CM Punk is the face, Ryback as the heel. The other way around didn't really work too well. Punk was able to get some decent contests out of Ryback. You know, it worked great. They were decent at best. But I think Ryback somehow, some way, walks out of this match victorious. He needs the win. He just started this alliance with Heyman. And I personally thought that the homosexual innuendos last night between Heyman and Ryback were fucking hilarious. Paul Heyman is a maestro with the microphone. That guy knows his shit. He knows exactly what to do. He is awesome. Toph, same question. Who you got, Punk or Ryback?
I think Ryback will win. This has to continue. Looks like it's going to be in the long run. They're going to keep this going for a while. I think the end game is probably going to be at Survivor Series. They'll do like Team Punk versus Team Heyman. That'd be cool or something like that. But I think Ryback will win, or you know, and they'll continue it. You know, Ryback just kind of joined Heyman, and there's always the possibility that Curtis Axel might interfere. By the way, he might have an impromptu match of R-Truth probably. So. But I think Ryback will somehow win, more than likely using heel shenanigans or something of that nature.
Yeah, the feud's got to go on. I mean, this feud has been building for months with CM Punk and Paul Heyman. And the majority of the feuds right now on WWE TV have been kind of brewing and baking and kind of boiling up. And that's what I like about it. They're not really hot-shotting anything. They're not transitioning from feud to feud to feud. Every feud is going on for a couple months now. And that to me is awesome. Next match on the card, AJ Lee defending her Divas Championship, not the women's title, Medusa. We all saw your comments about you threw that thing in the trash. You're a blackball from WWE forever. But the Divas Championship, AJ Lee defending against Brie Bella. Will, who's going to win and why?
Well, I want AJ to lose only because we need to lose some freaking points in our draft. So,
Will, do you have the scores tonight, by the way? We'll do the scores in a little bit. You have?
I would say give me about 5 minutes to get that up, but I will say that AJ will retain the title. I don't think she's going to lose it right now. I don't think Brie Bell – I think they would have built Brie Bell up a little bit more for her to win it like that. So I think AJ's going to win.
I really think if they had more time, they should – or even if this feud continues, they should really kind of use AJ's past relationship with Daniel Bryan on TV as kind of a selling point for the feud, since everybody knows that Daniel and Brie are now engaged and have been dating for a long time. I mean, we know that Daniel Bryan wasn't really banging AJ, but, you know, in the storyline he was. So I think that would be great to kind of use that. And I think AJ Lee also retains because she has been, as much as you guys may hate it, she has been one of the main players on Monday Night Raw over the past 2 years. And I love the chick. She's absolutely awesome. Toph, same question. Who's going to win and why, AJ or Brie?
I guess AJ wins. Nothing more to say.
All right. Nothing more to say on that. So we got AJ across the board. Nobody's picking Brie. I don't think Brie's going to win either, but, you know, we'll see. And John will be joining us later tonight, folks. If you're missing the great JCD, who had a really nice show last week. If you guys haven't heard it, John had an Oh You Didn't Know show. He did it by himself, did a good job. He talked about Austin versus Hogan, a match that we most likely will never see, but he gave us why we didn't see it, what could have happened, and all that good stuff. He gave us so much information, I didn't even know. So go back and listen to his retrospective on Austin versus Hogan, and hopefully John will be joining us in a little bit here on the show. We're going to do a news segment in an hour or two. He's going to give us some of the news stories, and we're going to discuss them. We're going to see what's bullshit, what's not bullshit. You know, just go with the flow here. Continuing with Battleground. Let's go to the pre-show now. I'm just kind of winging it. I'm just winging it on what I know that's on the card. Dolph Ziggler versus Sandow. Money in the Bank, previous Money in the Bank holder versus current Money in the Bank holder. Will, who's going to win and why?
Well, I will say Ziggler will be because he's been getting kind of buried the last couple of months. So I'm going to go with that because right now Sandow doesn't need it until he's ready to cash in that. So I could definitely see Ziggler winning it.
Yep, I agree. Ziggs is on a is this guy who, like, he's winning some, he's losing some. He took the fall last night against Roman Reigns and in that six-man tag match. But, yeah, Sandow is going to continue putting guys over. He's going to keep losing until he cashes in that briefcase, where I think once he gets that Money in the Bank briefcase, cashes it in, and gets that World Heavyweight title, he's going to have a hell of a run. I think he'll bring back some of the focus to it, hopefully, anyway. I don't think it'll be the same old Del Rio versus Jobber every week on Monday Night Raw. Toph, same question. Ziggler, Sandow, who you got?
Ziggler wins because whoever holds the Money in the Bank loses all the time. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, you got that right. We got the same type of deal on that. Will, you're currently texting me, bro. I can't. I'm not, like, by my phone. Will, what do you – just tell me what you're texting me, bro.
Oh, dude, man. I said at the Battleground, I'm going to have to hit the showers because I got to get all this dirtiness and get nice and clean. So that's what I was pretty much telling. But also, for Battleground, because Sunday nights are free again, that means yours truly – TLD
will
be hosting.
Hold on. Hold it, Will. I'm not sure if that's true. Will's just kind of bringing it to me. Greg DeMarco show is leaving Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. I'm not sure if he's doing a show on Sunday or not just yet. I haven't heard from Greg yet, but if he'll definitely gone. He'll be gone by November for sure, by Hell in a Cell for sure, Will. So by Hell in a Cell, you'll definitely have that post-game show back, but you might not have it this coming Sunday.
What?
Yeah, I'm sorry, man.
All right, you know, I should be picking up here. What's up with this?
I don't know. I couldn't hear what you said, but, yo, you got to give us our fantasy scores, man. Before you leave, you got to give us the scores.
Maybe I don't want to give my fantasy scores now because I can't have my Sunday nights.
You're gonna have
all
it
right,
back, bro. I promise you that slot. You'll have it back.
All right. So here are, as of today, Jay Sun has 51 points total as of today. And remember, the pay-per-view is doubled. We have, for myself, 43 points. We have Toph has a whopping 32 points. And John JCD has 27 points. There you go.
All right, 27. Okay, so I'm still winning, but there's a lot of games left.
Winning.
There's a lot of stuff left here. So.
Of course, this is bull, man. This is unbelievable bull. I can't even play three.
Well, you know,
I have Mark Henry, Mickie James and Mr. Anderson all gone because they all don't even work right now at all. So this is BS.
Well, I have Cody Rhodes, and he hasn't wrestled. He's my wild card guy, so everything he does is doubled, and he has
pay-per-view
in a month. Yeah, it's true. He's got a pay-per-view shot. But speaking of Cody Rhodes, let's continue with our card. I just popped open another beer. We're going to keep the show going tonight. I'm actually drinking
a
for
beer?
Once in my
you
life, Will. Oh, yeah.
You were beer-free.
I'm doing it. How about this one? I was for a while, but I'm back at it. They're celebrating it, too. I'm a happy guy tonight. The Rhodes Dynasty versus The Shield. Will, who you got and why?
This is my match I am looking forward to on the entire show. I think the build was definitely a surprise. I didn't see this coming out of the pay-per-view. But they did a great job of knocking Cody Rhodes out of it. So he's going to become a really big star out of this. I think fans are really behind him. When they had the little attack on Raw, I'm sure Cody Rhodes and Goldust will win. I'm very surprised Goldust is going to get a contract. I think that's quite interesting how he's going to get a contract with WWE if he wins too. So I'm very curious where that's going to go with Goldust and Cody Rhodes coming back together. If anything, if there was a tag team that I would love to see win the tag titles, those two guys would be the one. So I'm hoping that if they win this show, they'll come back and have a tag team again and beat The Shield for the tag belts. I could see that happening. I really love that idea.
Well, hey, there's a possibility that the Rhodes Dynasty could win, but I'm picking The Shield. I don't think it's time for them to lose those straps yet. I think Rollins and Reigns.
Well, the belts
have
aren't
been
on the line either.
They've been the belts aren't on the line.
No, the belts are not on the line. This is a non-title match.
Okay, non-title. Okay, my bad. Okay, so the belts aren't on the line, but I think The Shield win, and I think somehow, some way, Cody Rhodes still gets the job back, but I don't know. Maybe the Rhodes Dynasty does win, but I'm picking The Shield. I'm going with my gut. I think they're somehow going to fire Dusty Rhodes. I know it won't be shoot. It'll be a storyline. Goldust will be out, and Cody will still be fired, and I think they'll somehow prolong this and bring Cody back under the roster in the future. Toph, what are your thoughts?
I think that Cody and Goldust will win. My worst fear, and you guys might remember this, you guys remember when Dusty turned heel and joined the NWO, and it made, like, no sense at all?
Yep.
That's my worst fear here. My worst fear is that Dusty turns on his own sons just because it would just be like, because sometimes in wrestling, they just like to pull swerves. Like, you know, when especially today in the IWC with the internet and dirt sheets, fans think they know everything. Sometimes, you know, they'll just have these decisions just for shock value. And I could see them having Dusty go heel just for the sake of it, because not many would see that coming. That's my worst fear here, but I feel that Cody and Goldust will win here. We'll see.
All right, so we got two for Rhodes. I'm with The Shield. I'm sticking with my boys here, and I think, you know, I hope Dusty doesn't turn heel. Like you said, NWO did not make sense for him. It was really stupid. I don't think they'll make that same mistake. I just got a hunch. But
did you see the tweets with PWS, actually, our own guy with Cody Rhodes? That was actually quite interesting today. Well, with PWS, what they did. I don't know which way it went, but Cody Rhodes was basically starting to be advertised for PWS. I don't know if you read that or not today.
Yeah, I actually saw the tweets when they came in, and they're basically saying that after Cody's 90-day no-compete clause finishes up, that he will be on the PWS roster, and that is just smart, 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 man. That's the thing about Pro Wrestling Syndicate. They push the envelope in the right direction, and they are insanely smart. They're smarter than Smart Mark promotions like Ring of Honor and Evolve and all that stuff. And they just do it the right way. They know what they're doing. And Cody even replied. Cody said they're a dark horse. You know, they're a company that does wrestling the old school style the right way, and they put on a fun show every single time. So yeah, that was very interesting to see. I don't think there's really anything to it, but who knows? Maybe if Cody doesn't get rehired, maybe he will appear. Maybe they'll push that storyline that far. Continuing on with the card, because I know Will's got to go and get the volleyball sweat off him. We're going to go with RVD versus ADR, the Battle of the Initials. And for the World Heavyweight Championship, of course, Alberto Del Rio has held that strap for quite a while. And Will, what are your thoughts? Who's going to win this hardcore match at Battleground?
I could see for Carlo Rodriguez finally turning on RVD and costing him the match. I think ADR is going to keep the championship belt for a little bit longer. I don't know if RVD, I don't know if they're going to put all the pressure on Rob Van Dam. I mean, it really depends, I think, on placement on the card. I don't see Sandow cashing in on this show. I don't think they would do that on that kind of a show. So I could see that because it is a hardcore match now, there's a lot of things they can get away with, especially with Ricardo being out there now. So I could see Ricardo Rodriguez either turning on Rob Van Dam to continue maybe this feud to go a little bit further.
Well, my thought on the whole thing is that Rob Van Dam is leaving pretty soon for a while, from what I understand. And from what people have told me anyway on the Twitter, which you can follow me at PW Powerhouse. But if RVD is going to be leaving soon, this is the perfect point for him to leave. And what better way than to put Sandow over for the World Heavyweight Championship? So I've got RVD winning the match. And my prediction, and a lot of people are saying it too, is that Sandow will cash in on Rob Van Dam, who has been beaten and brutalized by Alberto Del Rio after the match is over. Toph, your thoughts on the show, on RVD versus ADR?
I don't believe Ricardo's turning on anybody. If he was going to turn on RVD, he would have done it by now, and he hasn't. As far as a hardcore match goes, I think Ricardo will be involved in some manner because anything goes. I could definitely see Del Rio somehow winning, and then Ricardo does something to, like, knock him out, and then Sandow cashes in or whatever. This is really a cold feud. It's really cold, to be honest. I really don't care. It's kind of hard to predict, but I'll just go ahead and just predict RVD just because.
Yes, it's the one title he's never held, and if he gets his hands on the World Heavyweight Championship, he'll be one of the few guys to hold that belt, the WWE belt, and the ECW Championship as well. I hate calling it a
belt. And the TNA
belt. I don't know why I did that. Yeah, true. He held the TNA title, too. He'd probably be the only guy to hold all four of those. So,
yeah, I believe the only belt he hasn't held, is the World Heavyweight Championship and the United States Championship.
And that's surprising, too, because he was in the mid-card for so long. It's really shocking he never got his hands on that belt. Title. I keep calling it belt. I hate calling it belt. Anyway, final match I got here in my docket. I don't know if I missed one, but Will, Mr. Feedback tonight. Who you got, Orton or Daniel Bryan?
I can see Orton winning this. I don't think Daniel Bryan winning it will do anything for me. I can't think of another finish like the one like last time. I was a little disappointed in that finish. I think Randy Orton needs to keep this championship belt. He needs to hold on to it. I don't think he ever should have lost it. You know, so I definitely think Randy Orton is going to win this match.
I think this will be the night where Triple H does something like restarts the match after Daniel Bryan wins or adds stipulations as the match goes on. I think it'll definitely be one of those, big-time clusterfucks, so to speak. And I think Randy Orton walks out WWE champion once again. But I still think Daniel Bryan soon enough will get that big victory, even though on Raw, Randy Orton gave Daniel Bryan the beating of a lifetime, but I still see Randy Orton walking out as the WWE champion. And Toph, man, who do you think? Who do you got?
You pretty much summed up my feelings. This match is going to be a clusterfuck. It's going to be like the match Chris Benoit and The Rock had, where Benoit won, and then the match was restarted, and they gave it to The Rock. It's going to be like that match Jeff Hardy and Kurt Angle had a few years back in TNA, where they went to like a 25-minute draw, I think, and they kept getting a 5-minute restart. What I see happening here is I see like Daniel Bryan hitting that running knee of his, and he'll pin Orton, and like Orton maybe will have like his foot on the ropes. They'll restart the match, and then, Orton, he'll maybe hit an RKO, and there'll be like a really close 3 count or something, then he'll kick out. And ultimately, I see Orton winning via heel shenanigans, like, pulling the tights or putting his robe. I definitely see a few, at least maybe 2 match restarts. But at the end of the day, when the dust is settled, I think Orton will somehow walk out as champion. I mean, the original plan that I read way back before SummerSlam was that Orton and Bryan were pretty much scheduled to feud for the title for the duration of the year, which means that, unfortunately, they're going to be trading titles back and forth. I hate it when that happens, but, hey, I mean, it works sometimes. It worked for Punk and Hardy, so.
There's nothing wrong with doing that thing every once in a while, changing the title back and forth. It worked with The Rock and Foley, worked with Punk and Hardy, like you said. And, you know, you can't always have these guys with these long reigns. I don't understand it. A lot of these fans, they think if you don't have a 300-day reign as champion, then you're not a good champion. That's a bunch of bullshit, man. It's like I was talking about it with you, I think, recently with somebody, about when Kevin Steen was the Ring of Honor champion, and we all thought that Jay Lethal should have won. I thought Jay Lethal should have beat him that first time when they formed Scum in Ring of Honor. You give Jay Lethal a little run with the you give him a little run with the belt. He doesn't have to hold the thing for 100 days. You give him a run with the championship, and then Kevin Steen can win it back from down the line. It's not rocket science. There's always a different way to do it. Jay Lethal, to me, and this is off topic a little bit, probably has the most charisma out of anybody on that Ring of Honor roster, but that's another topic for another day. And TLD, I guess you're leaving us, huh? You gotta go get your post like volleyball thing done or whatever.
It's called a shower, Jay.
Okay.
But one thing I would have to say about Raw, one thing that me and my girlfriend truly support, I did love the idea of the Susan Coleman Foundation. I love that John Cena did it last year, but this year they had everybody wear those pink shirts. I think that was great advertising. Me and my girlfriend, we bought two shirts that support that, so I'm sure they will sell a lot of them. It's going to a good cause, so if you definitely want to, I would say if you can get those shirts, some of them are pretty cool. I have to admit, I got the Miz one, of course, and she got the RVD one. So I would say if you can get a shirt, get a shirt. I think it's a good support.
I agree, Will. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Brought that up. I hope the fans are happy because last year there were outrageous complaints that it was only John Cena sporting the shirt last year and everybody else just got like a wristband or something along those lines. I hope the fans are happy. I hope they're happy. Now there's shirt for every superstar with pink on it. And you can get whatever superstar you want, pretty much, who has a T-shirt on the roster. So, that's pretty cool. I'm probably going to purchase one, too, to support the Breast Cancer Susan Komen Foundation. And, hey, before you go, Will, what did you think of the Los Matadors, huh?
You know, I think it's better than what they were doing before. That's for damn sure. I like the little mask guy. I think that's actually kind of cool with the little mask gimmick. They need to get a little bit of build up. It's only 1 week, you know. It's just like when Ryback came out, we didn't know what to think. You know, I think I like the old idea of them coming out. I think the fans started chanting "Ole" every time they were basically hitting a move. So I think that the fans will get behind it. I think it's actually not as bad as people think it's going to be, you know. But it's better than being called Primo and Epico with nothing than being called Los Matadors with a good build up. A little surprise with the little bull. I think it's going to work over time. I think we have to give it some time. We can't just judge it on one show.
Yeah, that little bull is going to sell some merchandise, man. That guy's going to get over like Grover, man. He's going to that guy's going to be a star. I'll put my money on it right now. But thanks for joining us tonight, Will.
Hey, you're welcome, guys. And if there is a Battleground show that I can host, I will be on it. If not, we will have the results next week of our big PWP All-Stars, and make sure you go to BWLWrestling.com.
All right. Thanks so much, Will. And, Will brought up a point before that Sunday nights are going to be free again here on the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio Network. Greg DeMarco of the Greg DeMarco Show will be leaving very soon, which is fine. You know, no big deal. It was his idea to come to the network. I didn't twist his arm at all. He's apparently heading over to some other dirt sheet website or something, getting a writing gig over there. Cool deal, man. So he'll be leaving the radio show. Awesome. Good for him. And Sunday nights will be free again. So Will will take over that spot doing post-game shows. We're not going to have like an every week Sunday night show or anything like that. But Will will take over doing those post-game pay-per-view shows. But right now I'm going to take that commercial break I promised you before. I got to recharge the batteries for a minute. We'll be right back. We'll bring in John JCD Demicelli. We're going to go over the news with a big fat Z on the end because we all know that the news you read on sites such as WrestleZone, Lords of Pain, FW4, whatever the fuck, all those sites are a bunch of crap. They just copy and paste the same news without any kind of guarantee. And when they're wrong, they never admit to being wrong. So we'll talk about the news in just a couple moments. Here's a sneak peek. We played it last week for our buddy RF Video, Rob Feinstein, over there at rfvideo.com. Matt Stryker's shoot interview, you can buy it over at rfvideo.com right here tonight. Jay is getting wasted live on the air. PWP Radio. We'll be right back.
So did you go to any house shows at the Garden at all?
They're called live events, Rob.
Oh, sorry
so
about
let's
that.
Please make
I walked into the Matt Stryker shoot interview to get the car keys because we drove together.
And to sell.
And I was a member of Johnny Rods' wrestling academy as well, and I sold him on the idea because he saw me, my picture hanging up on Johnny Rods' thing, said, I'm going to be a huge star like that crazy Equidub wrestler Tommy Dreamer. Do you want boom?
In WWE, a lot of guys, after your match, you'll walk through the curtain, and there's this whole intricate set of monitors and tables and stuff, and Vince McMahon is sitting kind of off to the side with the headsets on, watching everything, and a lot of guys will walk through the curtain and kind of try to get, you know, was that good,
right.
Vince? Was that good, Vince? And honestly, your best bet is to walk through the curtain and walk right out downstairs because you know if it was good or it wasn't. And if you're going to wait from the pat on the back from the Pope, you'd be waiting there a long time because he has much bigger fish to fry than to pat you on the back and say, hey, good match. If it was bad, someone's going to come and get you and tell you it was bad. Then there was Simon Diamond, and then there was Candido and Bigelow, and on it went. And I also got to work on shows with Eddie Guerrero, rest his soul, and Tajiri. And if those guys are out there doing their craft and you're not watching, you're an idiot. That's where I'm going to learn what a good guy does, what a bad guy does, what moves to do, what moves not to do. This is where I'm going to learn psychology. This is where I'm going to learn timing. And all of that came from Jim Kettner's ECWA. Key was always very withdrawn into himself and always very protective of his personality and protective of the business. So immediately there was respect there. But I remember the first time I made him crack a smile. I said some kind of joke, and right there I think that Loki and Brandon, which is his real name, went like that, and I became friendlier or more friendly, said the former teacher, with Brandon than with Loki. I did an Ultimate Warrior thing where you play his music, and I ran around the ECW arena for a good 2.5 minutes. I got to the top of the step, and I was shoot out of breath, and I looked around, and everyone was laughing. And going back to what I learned from the veterans, we got Punk was always Punk. He always did things his way, and he always had a lot of confidence. We have a very similar personality, Punk and I, now that I've gotten to know him. Arn Anderson, who, oh, God, I wish I got a chance to say goodbye to Arn. I feel like I let him down so much. That guy taught me so much, and there's a lot of things that if you are an extra talent at WWE, again, it may never happen ever again. This might be one chance. So what the hell are you doing hanging out and catering or trying to buddy up to someone in the locker room when what you need to know is out at that ring? I got there.
You're goddamn right.
Okay, I've been playing that clip over and over again tonight of Walter White, a.k.a. Heisenberg, from Breaking Bad. And I got to say, man, I am going to miss that show. It's not wrestling talk at all, but Breaking Bad, if you haven't watched it, I suggest you go back and watch that series from the beginning until the end. It was, in my estimation, the greatest TV show in the history of television. And they just finished up. They had their series finale last Sunday night, and it was captivating. It was awesome. I'm a big fan of Dexter, but Breaking Bad destroyed Dexter in the series finale department. And, you know, hats off to Vince Gilligan for creating that awesome show, Bryan Cranston for putting on the performances of his life time and time again, Aaron Paul for becoming a star before our very eyes. That show was fucking amazing, and now it's gone. They went out on top, and that's the way it should be. That they could have gone on with that show season after season. I'm sure they could have dragged it out as long as they wanted to, but hey, they did it the right way, and I'm going to miss it, that's for sure. Back to wrestling talk, though, I'm going to bring in, he is the host of Oh You Didn't Know Radio Show. And last week, if you did not listen, if you didn't listen to his show talking about Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Hulk Hogan, what should have happened, what didn't happen, and, you know, you better go back and listen to it, or he's going to find you, and he's going to break your legs. John, what's going on, my brother?
What's up, dude?
Yo, nothing, man. I'm having a good time tonight, bro. I'm having a few beers. I'm chilling
yeah,
out.
It.
It's a, huh?
I said, yeah, it sounds it.
Yeah, man, I'm loving it. I love doing this. This is a great time. Tuesday nights are fun for me each and every single week. I just started my personal training certificate program. I'm going to try to be a personal trainer. I'm always hustling. I'm always trying to do something different. I try shit. I don't like it. I move on to the next thing. But I think I'm going to like this. I'm captivated by personal training. And I'm celebrating tonight, you know. I'm having a few beers, having a great fucking time. Now, John,
nice.
Glad you're here with us tonight, because we're debuting a new segment here in the show. We're going to go into the digital diarrhea of the news, man. And you got some news stories for us or what?
Yeah, to be fair, I try to stay away from the stuff that's completely off the walls and with no real any type of validity. So we're going to kind of stick with stuff that's, I guess, as close to real as possible, if that's, you know,
I like it.
If that makes any sense. So, I mean, obviously the big thing, today's October 1st. It's D-Day down in Nashville. Hulk Hogan is no longer officially a member of TNA. There's been reports that they're talking, but with Hogan, it's going to be about money. And with TNA in a cost-cutting mood right now, it's probably 50-50 at best if Hogan's back or not. Which is...
Sorry, I just had to get that in there. Go ahead.
It's okay. you know, the only way I personally see Hogan going back is if there is absolutely no interest from Vince and anything with WrestleMania 30, which I don't know that there wouldn't be. I got to admit, I wasn't a big fan of your idea last week of him versus Triple H. you actually made my son cry with that scenario. But there is money with Hogan. Even if it's in a non-wrestling role, there's money to be made there. It's just a matter of, I'm going to be honest with you, I think Vince has got first crack at him. So, you know, we're going to see what happens. He is scheduled to be on Impact Thursday. And then, you know, I guess we'll get a gist as far as what happens from there with him. It's going to be very weird with all the time they spent building him up the last 6 to 9 months, and he ends up not being at Bound for Glory. Like, that would just be a big blow for them. But, you know, we'll see what happens with that. Ken Anderson did a radio interview where he basically said he's going to be back. His team and TNA were going to probably finalize a deal later this week. So it looks like Anderson's going to be back. It'll be interesting to see what kind of role he takes, which is a shame. I really would have liked to see him go back to WWE, although I guess maybe Randy Orton decided that's not best for business. Mickie James also did an interview where she pretty much, without saying the exact words, pretty much said she's done with TNA. So we'll see where she ends up. She'd be a great addition to the Divas. Kind of play into the whole AJ storyline as the original psycho chick. Another diva who has pretty much hinted that her return is imminent is Karma. Kia Stevens basically did an interview over the weekend and basically, for anyone who knows terminology, basically said her return is in the gorilla position, which means it's basically just about a go. So we'll see what happens with that and what role she plays. Would love to see her back. It's a shame her and Beth never happened. So we'll see what happens from there. Talk of two matches being added to Battleground as were set up last night, possibly Bray Wyatt versus Kofi Kingston and or R-Truth versus Curtis Axel for the IC title. Both of those were kind of set up last night. The Survivor Series post has been released. It's the Wyatt family, which is interesting, although those posters usually don't tell a story for what's going to go on the show, but they're big enough group right now that maybe there is some telling to this. The Undertaker tweets were revealed as a Todd McFarlane figure collection that WWE is going to start putting out, so that's pretty cool.
I looked at that. I looked at that figure. That thing looks pretty freaking awesome. That might be something I have to purchase. I don't buy figures, but that thing looks cool.
Yeah, McFarlane's work, especially with those figures. I mean, when I was younger, I was into the sports figures, and you know, if his work is still anywhere near what it was 10, 12 years ago, that I haven't seen that figure in full, but that thing will be insane.
Yeah, it's not. They have the whole. If you go to WWE.com, they have like a gallery of it. They have all these different, you know, views of it, like the side angle, the front angle, and shit like that. It looks really, really fucking good.
Okay, they posted it.
Okay, go on.
And speaking of Undertaker, tomorrow night we will be doing a retrospect on his career and the streak and where he stands all time. Not going to really touch too much into his WCW or his Mid-South stuff. We're going to just touch on the WWE career and where he ranks and where he will rank and how you handle his eventual exit. So, you know, there's a little bit of a cheap plug right there for tomorrow night.
No, I like it, man. I'm going to try to join you. I'm going to do everything I can to join you tomorrow night. You're going to host.
Okay.
I'm going to call in. I'm actually going to be on a podcast tomorrow night. Talking about Dexter and Breaking Bad. It's called the name escapes me right now. It's called like Psycho Net. The guys are gonna kill me. They're my buddies on Twitter. But it's called like Psychoactive Net or something like that. I'm sorry, I don't know what it's called. But I'm gonna be on it talking about Breaking Bad, talking about Dexter, and then right after I'm done with that, I'm gonna go on Oh You Didn't Know and I'm gonna talk about the Dead Man.
Nice. We're gonna touch on the streak, and you know, I've written about it a few times and mentioned it on the show. We're going to delve into how the streak almost never came about due to some original booking getting changed. So we're going to delve into all that tomorrow night.
All right. Is that it for the news? Because I remember...
No, I got a little more.
Yeah, bring it on, man. I want to hear
it. Got a little more.
This is intriguing to me because I don't go to those dirt sheet sites. I don't read that digital diary anymore. I just
I'll be honest with you. I mean, I go over probably about 5 or 6 sites every day, and there's just some stuff that you know is just pure bullshit. Then there's other stuff, you know what, there are some guys and some sites that, you know, that get it right, or they try to keep it as honest as possible. I mean, you and I have spoken about this in the past. You know, the one example I go to is the Royal Rumble debacle from this year, when everyone and their mother swore all those guys were going to come back, the Carlitos, the Shelton Benjamins, the MVPs, this and that, and everyone was copying and pasting off each other. The only person who admitted they screwed up was Mike Johnson. And
anybody,
you know,
got time for that?
And you know what? It was actually nice to read. You know, he was the only one out of Alvarez, Eisenberg, Labar, you know, Meltzer, all those morons. He was the only one to admit, you know what? I got it wrong. And I screwed up, and you'll never see Dave Meltzer say that. You know, they all use the "well, plans change last minute" line of bullshit, you know, which translates to, "oh, we made that up and it never happened."
I think the sites that copy and paste this news from Meltzer and Johnson and all these guys, the guys like Meltzer, who actually, I'll give him a little bit of credit here because I don't give him a lot of credit, but he actually does have people he calls and talks to that give him information, and then these other assholes take his information and they just post it on their stupid sites, and they get all these clicks, they get all this traffic, and they pass it off as it's their news, even though they'll say, like, you know, from the Wrestling Observer. But you know, the average fan doesn't realize that. They think whatever asshole behind that keyboard copying and pasting that is reporting it, and that's what drives me nuts more than anything.
Yeah, well, the one thing I'll tell you, the one thing I've always liked about Mike Johnson, and we're going to end this in a moment. I'm not going to go on for another 37 minutes kissing Mike Johnson's ass, but you know what? Johnson's a fan, first and foremost. Still, like, you see him at shows. Like, he used to be front row at all the old ECW shows. Like, you know, if you watch an old ECW clip, especially from the arena, you'll see him right there front row. Like, when we go to FWE on the 12th, I'll show you who he is, and you're going to be like, holy shit. You know, like, he, you know, there's legit rapport with a lot of the guys. So, you know, he's, like, the only one that, like, if he pulls something, I'll take it like as, okay, you know what, this has got a real, you know, chance to be legit. Whereas if I see something like on WrestleZone from Justin Labar or Nick Pargorio or Mike Killiam, it's like, whatever, kill yourself, you know. You know, it's like pure bullshit. But moving on from that, there's still a little Hall of Fame news, supposedly at SummerSlam, and I know this happened because he was there. Everyone, their mother said he was there. When the Warrior worked, I guess, some of the 2K press events for the video game. Yeah. Depending on everyone, their mother seems to be saying that he sat down with Vince at some point. It's probably going to lead to it's rumored that it's probably finally going to lead to the Hall of Fame induction, which if that's the case, that's going to bump DX again. They feel DX is a main inductee, that they wouldn't have them play second fiddle. The reason why they didn't go in this year is because they struck the Bruno deal. If they can get the Warrior for next year, they wouldn't go in next year. And I don't know if you saw the list over the weekend. They came up with a, you know, what DVDs would you like to see? And one of the ones that were on there, which is a little interesting, which is completely different from what they put out in 2009, is a Randy Savage documentary. It's not just going to be a match collection, you know, which that may also be another sign. I'm not one of these guys who got excited by Poffo's comments about a month ago, because I feel like I'm the only person who I talk to who realizes Poffo said what he said sarcastically and in jest, not seriously about, go ahead, you've got my permission, put him in, but I'm not going to be there to take your 30 pieces of silver. Right. You know, the only thing about a Savage DVD is who would you get for that? You know, you don't have Elizabeth to talk about. You know,
you'd have to dig up. You know what the sad thing about that is, John, is half the players, probably more than half the players that were involved with Savage at that time in his career, especially early on in the WWE days, they're all fucking dead, man. They really are. It sucks, man. You think about the guys who are still alive. You could have Flair on it. You could have, like, Mean Gene Okerlund on it. You could have Vince, hopefully. Guys like that. But, you know, you would really want to see, like, you know, Kurt Hennig was one of his best friends in real life. You would love to see him on it. You'd love to see Ravishing Rick Rude. There are a lot of guys who don't work with WWE anymore that would be great to be on it. But
you could still get the guys that actually meant a lot to the beginning of his career. Like you can still get a Tito Santana to talk about that IC title feud. George Steele does DVD work for them. You know, him and Steele had a forgotten feud. You could get Ricky Steamboat. You can get Honky Tonk Man. You can get DiBiase. You know, you can get Duggan.
Hey, how about who we just talked about? How about the Ultimate Warrior? You could probably get him at some point.
I was just going to say, well, that's where I was going with that. But without some of these reconciliations with a Warrior, or be able to get, you know, maybe Hogan signed to some sort of deal, that's where I was going next. You don't have Sherry Martel, obviously, you know. But, I mean, as good as Jake would be, because, that feud was really good, the two main guys you would want would be, I mean, obviously other than Elizabeth to talk about, you know, their dynamic, but would be Hogan and the Warrior. You know, so without those two guys in the fold, I don't know where I don't know if you would be getting as much from that DVD as you could. I mean, like I said, Santana's nice. DiBiase's nice, Steamboat, Flair, you know, Duggan, you know, but you don't have, you know, DDP probably, you know, but without Hogan and or Warrior, you'd probably be missing a big chunk of that DVD. I know you guys were talking about Los Matadores before. I think the best thing that was said about them all night was when JBL said he needed to get himself a little bowl. I thought that was hysterical. But you know what? It's that type of outrageousness that's probably going to get them over for about 6 months.
I think the Bull's going to be a star. John, the Bull is going to be a freaking star, no question about it.
Yeah, it's probably enough to take them into maybe a pre-show match at maybe WrestleMania, because the entrance will be so elaborate, because that's the type of entrance that you'll want to have be crazy and over the top at WrestleMania. The question is, they're not real threats to the Shield, obviously, with the tag belts. The question is, it would really depend probably the next two teams to take the tag belts, because obviously whoever beats the Shield will be a face, and then whoever beats them would be the heel team. Who that heel team is, and then can you feud them? If that can't happen by Extreme Rules, then they're probably done, unfortunately.
John, dude, you're thinking about it too much, man. They're going to be in six-man tag matches with Santino Marella, Great Khali, guys like that, in no time, man. They're a comedy act, but they will get over as heels when they beat the shit out of the Bull. You wait and see. Give it time. It's not going to happen tomorrow. They'll milk it for probably a year, maybe two, but you mark my words. Anyone who's listening out there, you mark my fucking words. They will beat the holy bejesus out of that little Bull, and they will turn heel, and you're going to hate their fucking guts, man.
You think they'll kill the Bull?
I think they'll kill the Bull. I think it's going to go that far.
Wow. Wow.
I'm just saying. That's what matadors do. I don't think they'll stick a knife in the Bull, but I think they'll beat the piss out of it. And then, they always beat the shit out of Hornswoggle. That poor son of a bitch. He hasn't done anything on the show that's been meaningful in a long time. And every time they want to get somebody heat, what do? They beat the living bejesus out of Hornswoggle. The same thing is going to happen to the Bull. Just wait and see. Hey, Toph, man, you still there, bro?
Yeah, I'm listening to you guys.
Yeah, it's cool, man. You want to get in on this? What do you think? What do you think of Los Matadors and the Bull?
I want whatever you're having, because it must be great.
I'm drinking right now. I'm drinking Red's Apple Ale, because I got to throw a shout out. I listened to a new podcast called The Ford Show. This dude Ford, I met on Twitter. Cool dude. He's out of Chicago. I talked about him last week a little bit. He's got all these porn stars on his show. It's a variety show. He doesn't talk about wrestling or anything really, but he's a diehard wrestling fan. So naturally, I made friends with him, and he was pounding these Red Apple Ales. And I'm thinking, this guy is fucking drinking while doing the podcast. I got something to celebrate. Why not go to the store, get myself a six-pack of these Red Apple Ales? And I got to tell you what, I'm not usually a big fan of sweet drinks, but these things are fucking delicious. So thank you, Ford, for giving me the shout for Red Apple Ale. They're pretty good. So, Toph, go pick yourself up a six-pack of Red Apple Ale. And they're not paying me for that anyway, just saying.
Yeah, well, I think that it's all well and good for those guys until El Generico gets called up to the main roster, because when that happens, that's when it's going to get awkward. Until that time goes, enjoy it while it lasts.
Well, I don't know for sure if they're going to chant Olay at Sami Zayn when he gets there. You'll hear it, obviously.
You know they are. Come on.
Will.
You know they're going to do it.
That's all. That when he did the live event loops the last, not this past weekend, but the two weekends before, supposedly that's all the live event reports all said the same thing, that's all those crowds were chanting. At him.
They were chanting it even before he came. I remember at TLC TLC last year. That same night, El Generico had that crazy ladder war with Kevin Steen. I believe the pay per views were like near the same area or something, and there were like a shitload of Olay chants during the. That TLC match between the Shield, Ryback, and Team Hell No, and they're going to chant Olay mercilessly when he debuts. It's going to be awkward. I'm actually looking forward to it. Matter of fact, you really want to see something crazy? Here's what you do. You debut him the Raw after WrestleMania 30, because you know how crazy those crowds are. You debut him in the same match as whatever Primo and Epico. It's going to be hilarious, dude. It's going to be hilarious. It's going to be a funeral. I can't wait.
They should literally make him the third member of the Los Matadors. I think that'd be funny, too, because I always found the El Generico gimmick funny. Like, I met the guy. He is a nice fucking guy. He went out of his way to say Merry Christmas to me backstage at ROH, and that was cool, but I always found the El Generico thing to be kind of weird, man. It's like you're a white Jewish Canadian and you're a Mexican. I mean, it was always just kind of weird to me, but it got over like wildfire for years. And when he gets called up, if he debuts in Des Moines, Iowa, they're not going to chant that shit. They're definitely not going to chant it. But if he debuts in Brooklyn, Chicago, New Jersey, Philadelphia, and so on and so forth, they're going to do that out there. They're going to freaking cheer him like crazy with the Ole chants. No question about it, Tope. You're right.
Yeah. What do you think his finish will be?
I think he's definitely not doing the top rope brainbuster. That's for goddamn sure.
Of course.
But he can do anything out there. I've seen that dude do some crazy stuff. What's his finisher going to be? A great question. I don't even know what it is now.
I think he's doing something with knees or a big boot, like in the corner, like a running boot in the corner.
Like a Yakuza kick.
NXT.
Like an old school, like Japanese Yakuza kick. Yeah, he used to do that in Ring of Honor all the time.
Since we're on the topic, is there a reason why CM Punk stopped using the Pepsi plunge? Did that hurt his knees or something?
No. He stopped using it because it's a top row pedigree. That's all. That's literally all it is.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. He's got bad knees, though. He does have bad knees. I watched recently. I actually sold the DVD, but I had a shoot interview from 2005 with Samoa Joe and CM Punk. And I just watched it. And during that interview, he, like, had to get up and walk around because his knees were, like, completely shot out, man. He was like, oh, my knee hurts. I got to walk around a little bit. So I guarantee you, doing
was
that, landing on your knees from the top rope, that's going to hurt.
I think I remember that. I remember there was a shoot interview I saw a long time ago where he said he had difficulty using that move on Samoa Joe in a four-sided ring.
Did they ever address
the rumor that he wanted, when him and Joe were both free agents, supposedly they went to TNA and said they wanted like 45 minutes, and TNA said, we'll take no, and then Joe ended up going to TNA and Punk went to WWE.
I don't know. I don't know.
And we talked about this before on our earlier episode, too. I know to this day AJ and Punk have heat for whatever reason. I don't know why either. So.
Yeah, there was this thing on that shoot interview, actually, that I watched with Samoa Joe and CM Punk. They were both talking about, like, they weren't even going to go to WWE at the time. Like, both of them were saying they weren't going to go. You know, and Samoa Joe was already working TNA. CM Punk had finished up working there. He was just working Ring of Honor at the time. And at that point, during that interview, they both said that WWE wasn't really an option. Like, Mick Foley went out on a limb and tried to get them a job with WWE, and they just didn't show any interest. But we all know it changed. They wanted Punk. And I think they even joked about going there together on the DVD at some point. They even joked about that. I don't think they were dead serious on it, but we all know CM Punk ended up going not too long after that happened. John, you there?
Yeah.
Okay. You got any more news for us tonight? Any other news topics you want to talk about?
No.
All right. And by the way, John, I don't know if you were listening earlier, but Will updated the PWP All-Star Fantasy League. And you, my friend, are in last place. You're dead last with a whopping 27 points.
Yeah, Night of Champions killed me.
Yeah, it did. And, of course, I myself am in first place with 51. Will's got 43, and Tove has 32. And Battleground might change that story around a little bit, and Bound for Glory is probably going to change it a lot. But we still got time left. Whoever's going to win this, we're
I feel good.
We're going to do something. I've been going through my old Ring of Honor DVDs. I got all kinds of shit. Whoever wins, I'm just going to give them a DVD, like a pretty awesome one. I got some cool stuff here. But speaking of that, No speaking of that. Let's move on. Let's talk about TNA Wrestling. And we didn't really talk about what you were talking about with Hogan before, so I want to talk about it a little bit. Hogan's contract apparently expired today, and he's working TNA without a contract. That, to me, seems very highly unlikely. But, Toph, if that's the case, what are your thoughts on that?
Again, I know, you know KME, right, Jay?
Yeah, man, I know him very well. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he's from the L.A. area, and I talked to him a few times, and he knows a lot of executives in the L.A. area, and sometimes we talk on Google Plus on late nights and stuff, and I kind of keep this in the down low because I don't like to, you know, I don't like it when stuff spreads, but about a week ago, I actually talked to him and one of his friends on Google Plus. He's an executive at Spike TV, and he basically told me that he wasn't allowed to tell me the exact details, but the executive, I won't say his name, but he said that they're pressuring Dixie to keep Hogan because Hogan, his face allows them. There are certain venues in the city, not just in America, but like in countries all across the world. There are venues that will accept TNA because Hogan is on the poster. If you go on TNA's website, you know, and if you go on their tours and stuff, you'll see Hogan on a lot of these posts in the center. And they're really very adamant about keeping Hogan. But the feeling from the locker room, from what he told me, is that they want him gone. Because Hogan's pretty much in it for himself. And that's kind of what the situation is. So we talked about it before last week. So it really just brings us back to one. There's just no way Hogan and Sting can stay. One of them has to go. This is like a bridge, and the foundation is slowly but surely falling apart. You have two big trucks, and it just can't hold both of them. So one of them is leaving, man. I'm kind of nervous because I want Sting to stay. I selfishly want him to leave and go to WWE. But if I was Dixie Carter, if I was Jeff Jarrett, right? And if I was, let's just say, I wake up tomorrow, I'm Jeff Jarrett, and I'm sick, and I'm going to die. I would feel comfortable dying knowing that I gave the company to Sting. Because I know Sting will do everything in his power to make TNA TNA. I know it's going to be in good hands. I would not feel that way if I left it in the hands of Hogan. Nothing against Hogan. It's just Hogan has always been in it for himself. And this has nothing to do with TNA. He was like that in WWF. He was in it with WCW. As a matter of fact, I remember I read a shoot interview a long time ago about how when the NWO shirts were selling in WCW, it actually wasn't making WCW any money. It was making Hogan money. It doesn't look too good right now. One of them has to go. And with Hogan, you know, being written off TV, we'll have to see. You know, because what they're doing in the story with Sting, if you notice, he's really not doing anything of mention either. So it definitely looks like one of them is going to have to go. And right now, my gut's telling me Hogan's staying and Sting's leaving. That's what my gut tells me. We'll have to see.
Yeah, it only remains to be seen. It's funny you brought up the NWO shirts. I'm just going to sidetrack for a minute. I was listening to Kevin Nash on Stone Cold's podcast, and he was talking about how they sold those things out of the trunk of their car when the NWO angle first started. And Austin, like, asked Nash or something if WCW saw that money, and Nash was like, fuck no. So, you know, Nash obviously probably kept the cash he made from that. But they also sold, I think he told me, like, or no, he didn't tell me, but he said in the podcast, they sold like $1 million worth of NWO shit when they went to Japan. Like, that's absolutely crazy. But, Hogan's thing, who's going to stay, who's going to go? I think if they're moving ahead with Dixie Carter as this diabolical heel, I think they're both gone. I think she's going to fire them both, and she is going to be the new badass bitch heel on the block. She's going to be the Mr. McMahon version of Dixie Carter nowadays. I don't know how they're going to spin it. I'm kind of upset, though. If Hogan doesn't appear at Bound for Glory, like you were saying earlier, John, they're not really going to finish this Hogan Bully Ray feud. They really didn't finish it. There wasn't anything that kind of happened. Hogan never got his true retribution. John, what do you think about this?
It's TNA. What else is new?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing Toph was just talking about. He may have even brought it up on here. But yeah, I've even read that too, that it's going to be one or the other. And wrestling-wise, they want Sting, but notoriety-wise, they want Hogan. But, I mean, apparently Hogan's price tag is going to be huge. It's going to be it's going to be bad either way, because they're either going to piss people off and get rid of Sting to save Hogan, which is going to piss off the locker room, or Hogan's going to go and the notoriety that whatever little notoriety that company has is going to go completely out the window with it. And this is a no win.
That's really unfortunate. That really sucks if that's the case. I guess on that front, it just remains to be seen. But we're heading to Bound for Glory. We're on our way there. And I believe we're a few weeks out. We're like 3-4 weeks away. And the card is kind of shaping up. We kind of have feuds that are starting to happen. I sometimes am still baffled. I know TNA is kind of under the gun with their checkbook and how they have their talent appear on the show, because a lot of the guys get paid per appearance and stuff like that. But it kind of baffles me when you don't see certain wrestlers on Impact every week. Like, you know, you got to think that Jeff Hardy is going to have some kind of major role at Bound for Glory. He's one of their biggest stars. He needs to have a high-profile match, but yet he wasn't even on Impact last week. He'll probably be on this week, but I don't read spoilers, so I don't know. But the card is kind of shaping up. We see a little feud brewing between Austin Aries and Chris Sabin, which is kind of cool because, you know, you could mix Suicide Manic, mix him in there a little bit, and you might have a great match on your hands. You see Ego, Main Event Mafia, kind of feuding, doing their thing. Aces and Eights is kind of falling apart. Wes Briscoe's out of there. John, is Wes Briscoe really fired from the company, or they just sent him down to OVW, what? What's the deal?
Not that I heard. I haven't heard anything. If Anderson's coming back, you know, they'll do something with the guys that were outed.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know if you guys watch Sons of Anarchy, but they call them Nomads, and they'll probably set up some kind of Nomad version of Aces and Eights along the way. But, you know, Bully Ray, AJ Styles, they haven't been in the same ring together. They mentioned each other last week at some point in some time, but they haven't really been involved with each other. So it kind of makes me pose this question, Toph. What do you think is going to happen when this match comes along at Bound for Glory?
Yeah, well, that's the big question. You know, they haven't addressed each other yet because both are currently involved in subplot feuds of their own. Unless there's going to be some type of link with Dixie Carter, we'll have to see. The X Division thing, and this is going to be difficult because I don't want to talk about spoilers because I know what's going to happen this week. The X Division thing, what they're doing with it right now, by the way, Aries and Kenny King had a really good match on Impact last week, unrelated, but the difficult thing about the X Division is it started with No Limits, which was cool. Then when Bischoff and Hogan showed up, they gave it a weight limit, which fans didn't like, and now the weight limit kind of got dropped. So the X Division title, some see it as a cruiserweight title, whereas others see it as a mid-card title. And typically speaking, in wrestling in general, when you win a mid-card title and you win a world title, you stay up and you don't go back down. You know, for instance, when guys like Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart and The Rock and Stone Cold and so many others, when they won an Intercontinental title and didn't win a world title, they stayed on that main event level and didn't go back down. What TNA is doing right now is a lot of guys that have won world titles are kind of going back to the X Division, which some see as a negative, while others see it as a positive. I always felt that Jeff Hardy should have been in the X Division to begin with. Because if you remember when he debuted on that January 4th show, it was during that X Division match. But, you know, when Jeff Hardy came back, he was already an established main eventer in WWE. So they decided to have him feud with AJ Styles and RVD. You know, Aries is great. You know, it was great to see him in the X Division again. But, again, he's so great. You want to see him in the world title feud. So, and then you got Chris Sabin, who, you know, just had a world championship, and now he's fighting for the X Division championship. So it's kind of like you want to complain, but the X Division needs to rub at the same time. So you're like, eh, you know. I'm trying to see what they're going to do with Magnus. He's having a feud with Ego, which is great. Great three-man faction, definitely way more interesting than Aces and Eights. But I think the real question is, like, what's the end game? I hope that Magnus stays face. It would be great if, you know, he stays face and they continue to book him strong, particularly when they go to UK next year. So we have to see. I guess the real riot car here is Dixie Carter. What's her role? I'm just going to assume that she'll be the middle link here that's going to somehow link up these subplot feuds between AJ and Bully.
Yeah, you're probably right there. And I'm going to throw out a quick prediction here. I think that Magnus You know, we're talking about Sting. He might be on his way out. Pretty sure he's going to compete at Bound for Glory. But I think Magnus might turn on the Main Event Mafia, Sting particularly, and join up with Bobby Roode, Christopher Daniels, and Kazarian, and kind of join their ego stable. Because if Ace and Ace is gone, they need a heel stable to kind of fill that void. TNA has always had stables. I can't really remember a time where they haven't had a stable that was kind of somewhat dominant. And you add Magnus to the mix there, then you're talking four fantastic wrestlers. Obviously, Bobby Roode is the mic piece. He can work the mic better than all those guys, even though Daniels and Kaz have really developed great characters over the past few months, man. I got to say, they've showed me something. Not even months, years. They've been way better. But Bobby Roode's the guy there. And I think Magnus joining them, I think he would fit. You know, he's British, and he's awesome. And I think his babyface run, after he didn't win Bound for Glory series, I think it's coming to an end. But as far as Bully Ray and AJ Styles is concerned, I'm calling it right now. I think Bully Ray retains at Bound for Glory. If they're going ahead with a Dixie Carter, you know, monster heel angle, there's no way that AJ walks out with that championship, especially if we're led to believe that he doesn't have a contract. And if it continues down that road, you know, it might be a case where TNA plants a bunch of people in the crowd again to throw garbage into the ring one more time. You know, that remains to be seen. But, John, same question, man. What are your thoughts on where they're headed with Bound for Glory, especially Bully Ray and AJ?
Well, forget the fact that I've got him on my team. I think AJ will actually win, because then they'll play up with, well, he doesn't have a contract and he doesn't have a title. And he's got the title, so they'll want to play that. I think if Hogan is gone and Dixie thinks she's going to be the heel authority figure, I think this will be where Jeff Jarrett will return and claim his spot as the founder of the company and be the face authority figure, and you know they'll go from there. God help us with a Carter Jarrett power struggle.
Let's not forget that we'll be coming back soon as well.
Oh God, there's going to be so much Southern drawl in that. I'm not going to be able to handle it with AJ, Dixie, and Jeff Jarrett speaking. I'm going to have to change the channel at some point because I can't listen to country music as it is. I'm not going to be able to handle that Southern drawl. But, yeah, you just mentioned, who knows? There's always that big possibility that Kurt Angle could play a role in this. I mean, he's going to come back. Who knows if he's going to be back in the Main Event Mafia or not. I kind of think that's disbanding soon. It's kind of not doing anything. Samoa Joe's not getting any help from it. So, yeah, who knows where Kurt Angle's going to fall into all this. But if TNA's smart, they will bring back Jeff Jarrett. He's been gone long enough that when he comes back, the crowd is going to go nuts for him. Everyone's going to know who he is, and would be absolutely interesting. But I think we're going to end the show a little bit early tonight. I'm kind of feeling like I need to watch Sons of Anarchy after I brought it up. I just want to get to it and pound another beer. I'm out of beer, and I can't really leave my station here, you know, to get another one. So we're going to wrap this thing up. Toph, man, I'll give you the floor. Final comments on tonight's show, our interview with Lady Tapa, and everything we've done tonight on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio.
Oh, final thoughts. Good show and a nice heel turn from is his name Adam Cole?
Yes.
Is that his name?
Yes, Adam Cole.
Yes, nice heel turn from Adam Cole. I checked out the I didn't see the pay-per-view, but I went on Ring of Honor's YouTube account and they had a little clip that, you know, summed up the events and all that, and had Jay Briscoe. He didn't want to give up the title, and everyone talked him into doing the right thing, and then when he finally did it, Adam Cole screwed him over. That was really well done. Really interesting, and I'll try to watch Ring of Honor more. Other than that, a good show and great interview.
Thanks, man. Yeah, Adam Cole's awesome, dude. I've watched some of his stuff in PWG, which is Pro Wrestling Guerrilla out in Los Angeles, and he's been a heel there for a long time. And I watched a match, man, I think it was the year he won Battle of Los Angeles, but don't quote me on that. I'm not sure. But I watched him wrestle as a heel, and I said to myself, what the fuck is he wrestling as a babyface in Ring of Honor for when he is such a good heel? He's an awesome heel. And to backtrack this, I saw him wrestle Kyle O'Reilly in a dark match at a Dragon Gate USA show at the ECW Arena. It was the night they crowned their first championship, their first Ring of Honor, what, Open Dream Gate something like Open the Dragon Gate, some bullshit. Open the Freedom Gate, I'm sorry, whatever the hell that is. They crowned their first champion, and the dark matches were awesome. They involved, like I said, Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole, and then the other one involved Dean Ambrose, who back then was Jon Moxley, against B-Boy, who is B-Boy's a local favorite in like CZW and stuff. He was a hardcore guy, whatever, but the people in Philly knew him. And Jon Moxley, man, I saw Ambrose up close to personal. I was front row at that show, and I knew he was going to be a star. But it was really great seeing Cole and O'Reilly, because I had no idea who the hell those guys were. I had never seen them work before, and they put on an excellent match. Awesome near falls. They were just killing it, and I knew right then and there they'd be something. They haven't made it to the big time yet, but, hey, Ring of Honor, they're a viable number three promotion in this country. They're now under contract. They're trying to be stronger, and, yeah, it's great for them. Now they're both champions in that company, so, you know, it's pretty cool. How about you, John? Final thoughts? I know you're only on for the final hour here, but we had Lady Tapa on the show, and she was great. She gave us a nice half-hour interview earlier, some great information from her talking about her uncle, the Barbarian, Gutcheck. If you are listening right now and haven't heard it, go back and listen to her. She'll be debuting on Impact Wrestling within the next few weeks. She even talks some shit on ODB. So go back and listen to that. But, John, man, your final thoughts and comments tonight on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio.
Actually, I'll go into something we didn't talk about. What is PWS doing? Why are you advertising Cody Rhodes?
Let me tell you what, dude. They're not advertising Cody Rhodes. They are just playing in with the storyline. And what they're doing, and we talked about it earlier for a couple minutes, what they're doing is genius. Because Cody Rhodes actually replied to it. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Cody Rhodes tweeted back to them.
Yeah, I saw that. I get it. Don't get me wrong, but it's like, you know, the way it was worded, you know, like, oh, once his 90 days is over, he'll be, you know, competing with us, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You're just creating a scenario that you're going to have to just, I don't know, I guess diffuse once they win on Sunday, you know? Like, you know, it's just, you know, there are people,
yeah, but,
I mean, you, me, and Toph, I mean, and Will, I mean, obviously we know better, but there are people that I'm sure sat there and was like, oh, shit, next time I go to a PWS show, I'm going to get to go see Cody, and you're going to take it right out. I mean, I get it. Don't get me wrong. But it's just, I don't know, it's a little weird.
Yeah, they're just playing into the storyline. That's all they're really doing. And don't be shocked. Now, I picked earlier, we did our picks on this pay-per-view. I picked the Shield to win. And I picked this angle to kind of keep going because, you know, we won't, I doubt, there's a very good possibility we'll never see Dusty Rhodes in WWE TV again after this match. And there's an even bigger possibility we'll never see Goldust again after this match. So I obviously think we'll see Cody again. I think they're building him up for something much bigger, for a much bigger victory to get his job back than this. So I'm picking the Shield, and it would not shock me. I would not be surprised one bit to actually see Cody Rhodes work that show, whatever show it'll be with Pro Wrestling Syndicate, because Pat Buck, who's the owner of that company, worked with WWE. He was in their developmental program for years and never got called up to the roster. He's talked about it on podcasts before that he was supposed to have a referee job, but they hired the Asian kid instead. And Johnny Ace kept promising him a spot on the roster and shit, but it just never came to fruition. Next thing you know, he got released. But he still has friends there, guaranteed, and Cody's one of them. So
here's going to be the problem. Here's going to be a problem, and this isn't PWS's problem. But if you're WWE, and now all of a sudden, I mean, you've had a policy for years of guys not being allowed to work indie shows. And, I mean, if you let Cody work the show just to, quote-unquote, continue a storyline, how do you sit there when so-and-so's not on a house show loop for a weekend and tell them they can't go work, you know, a local show, you know, make a few extra bucks? You know, they may be – I mean, I get the storyline progression of it, but they may be – painting themselves into an eventual hole.
Well, it's simple because Cody Rhodes wouldn't be getting paid by Pro Wrestling Syndicate. It's just that simple. He would not be getting paid by that company, and he probably won't even work a match. He'll probably get paid by WWE to do it. And CM Punk, when he was WWE champion and he left, he appeared at a show in Chicago called Absolute Intense Wrestling, or one of those bullshit companies out there. He appeared there and cut a promo and did his thing. But we're wrapping it up. So thanks, John. for the news segment tonight. We're going to try to do that every week if possible. And, you know, we're having fun. That's what we're going to do from now on. And thank you, Toph, for being on the show. Thank you to Will, TLD, Vesitas, and thank you to the Queen. She wanted us to call her the Queen, and I will do it. Lady Tapa, she will be debuting in the immediate future on Impact Wrestling. Watch out for her. She's coming for ODB's World Women's Knockouts, whatever you want to call it, championship. But I'm Jersey Strong Jay, signing off on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, episode number 54. Keep it real, everybody.